It's a gray Monday morning, and outside the federal courthouse on 9th and Market, members of Mishkan Shalom Synagogue are praying for Pedro Avila as he holds a large box of case files tightly to his chest.
A verse from the Psalms. Hine matov umanaim shevet achim ve'achiot gam yachad. How good and how pleasant.
It's a big day for Avila, who's undocumented, because he'll finally learn whether or not he's deported to Mexico, the country he left more than 15 years ago as a teenager.
Have been shared by Pedro and his family.
Avila is a nervous wreck. That's why the synagogue members are here, to provide emotional and spiritual support as Avila faces the possibility of being separated from his wife and kids. The day before, I visited Avila and his family at their home in Northeast Philadelphia. You could almost taste the tension in the air. Here's Avila, speaking through an interpreter.
Nos ha afectado mucho, más que nada a los niños y a mi esposa.
It's taken a toll on us, my wife and kids above all. I work a lot, and only when I get home do I really think about, you know, what's going on, what we're going to do. But when we're at home, we try not to think about deportation and to take it one day at a time.
It all started one night in 2011 when Avila was arrested and charged with soliciting a prostitute. Avila says he was set up by undercover police. Eventually, his record was expunged, but he had already landed in the hands of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, setting deportation proceedings into motion. And so for the past 2 years, like thousands of other undocumented immigrants in the U.S., Avila has been living in limbo, waiting to see what will happen with his case. It's been stressful for everyone in the family, living under this pressure, especially for Avila's son and daughter, who are 8 and 13. Avila's wife can explain.
Entonces, los niños todo el tiempo están como con miedo. Cuando yo les digo, niños, vamos a salir, vamos a ir a hacer compra.
It's hardest for the kids. They're afraid all the time. When I tell them that we're going somewhere, that we're going shopping, or that we're going to drive, then my son will get scared. Or when my daughter is leaving for school, she asks me, are you going out? Are you going to stay home? And I just prefer to tell her that I'm going to stay home because she's very afraid that if I get in the car, the police are going to stop me. She's really afraid of the police. For her, the police are just bad.
So in general, there's a lot of anxiety. It's not specific to immigration might come to our door and arrest somebody, but it's more of this overall sense of insecurity.
Kathy Tillman is a longtime family therapist and the director of La Puerta Abierta, or The Open Door, an all-volunteer project of the nonprofit Intercultural Coalition for Family Wellness. La Puerta Abierta is one of the few places in Philadelphia that provides free counseling to undocumented immigrants. Tillman says that undocumented immigrants experience extended trauma caused by fear of deportation, family separation, financial pressure, and lack of trust.
I think there's so much anxiety in the community, especially around status issues, that people tend to be very non-disclosing of their issues and their struggles for fear that somebody might share that information with the wrong people or judge them.
All this can be extremely isolating, says Melissa Fogg, the immigrant mental health specialist with Lutheran Children and Family Services.
It just leaves them feeling completely without support and really isolated and alone in a new country that they came to, usually for a better life or for the benefit of their children. So it's hard. People have a really hard time negotiating what they expected to receive here in the U.S. and what they thought they should be entitled to versus what they actually can access, which is very, very little.
In Avila's case, his family was able to get free counseling with La Puerta Abierta, but clinical mental health services are few and far between for undocumented immigrants due to insurance and language access issues. To help fill the void, Fogg says that soft approaches like art therapy, ESL classes, and community building activities can also help. This is also where a program such as New Sanctuary Movement comes in.
You know, we're not lawyers, but as people of faith, what we can do is walk with people, stand in solidarity with people.
Peter Pedamonte is the executive director of the Interfaith Immigrant Rights Organization. New Sanctuary runs a program that pairs local congregations with families facing deportation.
I remember when we first started this, I was always very hesitant to talk about that part of the program because it didn't feel substantial. But then as we went along and started doing evaluations with some of the families, the thing that kept coming up over and over again was the community of support, was that there was a community there getting their back in this incredibly, incredibly stressful and traumatic time.
Here's the idea. The partner congregation is there for the family throughout the deportation process, whatever happens. Families share meals with congregation members and attend worship services together. Congregation members check in on family members and go to court with them. Pedamonte says the program centers around building a relationship. For instance, when Pedro Avila's family was matched with Mishkan Shalom Synagogue in Philadelphia's Roxborough neighborhood 2 years ago, Mishkan member Michael Ramberg remembers testing the waters in the first meeting.
I explained a little bit about why a synagogue would want to be involved in this and would want to accompany a family, and some background about Jewish people's experience with immigration. It was a surprisingly easy kind of connection.
Since then, the synagogue has worked hard to have Avila's back so that he doesn't feel like he's facing deportation by himself. When Avila's lawyer didn't seem to be doing a great job in court, a Mishkan member, who also happens to be the executive director of Highest PA, an immigrant legal and social services nonprofit, decided to take his case on for free. And simply hanging out has also been valuable. Like the time Avila came to Mishkan Shalom Synagogue with about 15 family members, including kids.
It was really an unforgettable experience. It was very beautiful the way they welcomed us. We never thought that there were people like that who would open their doors to us to help us. Even 8 and 10-year-old kids who were there asking us questions, trying to learn new things, and showing that our situation was important to them.
Avila says that all the support from Mishkan has helped his family keep calm and deal with the harsh reality of what might happen.
Pues hemos estado más que nada unidos, disfrutando.
We've been united as a family, enjoying what we have, and we've been talking about what to do, making plans for our future, not only if I'm here, but also if we have to go. If leaving is our destiny, then so be it. And the idea is that we all stay or we all go.
The day of his final hearing, the day Avila and his family had been waiting over 2 years for, it turned out that they had to wait a little bit longer for an answer. The government only allows 4,000 people a year to get a cancellation of removal visa, and the cap for fiscal year 2013 had already been reached. About 8 Mishkan members were there to support Avila as he got news of the delay. Here's Mishkan member Claudia Garcia Leeds.
It was only us, and I think that it was really important for Pedro because he turned around a couple of times and saw us there, you know, rooting for him. And you know, being amongst friends, I'm sure it made a difference.
Since then, Avila has gotten word that he will get the visa after all. Mishkan is planning a party to celebrate with Avila and his family soon. For The Pulse, I'm Yoe Shaw.